Welcome to the Moving Past You radio show, a show about identifying, confronting, and embracing the obstacles that block and delay us in walking in our divine purpose. Each week, we delve into the complexities and rewards of walking in your purpose. Now, here's your host, Juanita Gaynor.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome to season four. Again, I'm so grateful to God for everything that he has done, everything that he's allowed. And I'm excited to bring you some amazing, amazing guests this season. That's right. You know, season four is different. It's not just me or Minister Peterson or other curated guests. We have transitioned into some powerhouses. We have some amazing guests that we've partnered with, networked with, that is going to bring you their journey and their walk and how they're working and navigating through things or whatever. And so I'm excited because it's not just going to be me. Yay! You know, all the time. So I know we've been, you know, missing a little bit. Of course, you know, the pandemic has gotten everyone in a little bit of a tizzy. It's gotten everyone out of their mojo and things like that. But our mojo is back. And let's just, you know, as we talk about that, the pandemic happened for the reason it needed to happen. It allowed us to shift. It allowed us to center, you know, our spiritual being. It has allowed us to center our emotional and mental well-being, and it allowed us to really listen to God. And I think there's been a lot of times where we say we listen to God, but we don't really listen to God. And during this time, we had to listen to him. We had to trust him. We had to depend on him like none other. And so for many people, including myself, he was allowed us to be able to move. You know, of course, you know, when we think of the pandemic, the last time we did this, like, of course, I was in Jersey because we did like last year. That was the last time. But, you know, with the move and moving studios and shifting, as you see in the new branding, God has just been really upfront and personal with me. And I've been listening more this time. I haven't been going back and forth with him. Y'all know me. I like to go back and forth with him. You know, I can have my conversations with him. But, you know, he has placed an amazing, you know, person in my life. And he is, you know, helping to navigate and to guide. And he is someone that I can be confident in to lead and for protection. And so I am not in that mode all the time. So if most people are following, you see that's a lighter, you know, calmer, centered person. And that's because, you know what, a lot of times we just have to listen to God and allow him to do the things that we can do. And with that being said, oh my goodness, today's guest, I love her so. Just through this process, I have been interviewing and pre-onboarding, you know, guests or whatever. And I'm going to just say this. Every young, amazing, beautiful woman that I have spoken with, I haven't said no to. God has just been that amazing with connecting. And with Danielle, I just have this kindred big sister spirit towards her. She is amazing. She has amazing story to tell. She's going to tell you how she went through it. She's going to tell you what she's doing with God's purpose in her life. And so I'm so excited to have her. Now, she is going to be talking about Yet God. Whew. You know, when she gave me her topic and things like that, and it was some others, Yet God spoke to me, because in spite of everything, you know, we say, but God, you know, but is a, I like but God, but yet God, no matter what we're going through, yet God saw enough in me to allow me to prosper. Yet God knew where my mindset was, but he still moved me forward. See, yet God is a statement and a testimony all in itself. So let's get into the amazing young woman who was going to be joining us on this evening. Danielle is a certified life coach that wears many hats, from Christian entrepreneur, graduate student, to being a single mom. Danielle has a passion to love and encourage others by sharing her experiences and by turning her pain into purpose. Y'all know we talk about that a lot over here. She is the founder of Fresh Start Life Coaching, LLC, and it's a virtual coaching business. Her niche is helping women that have or are struggling due to miscarriage and infertility. And I must just integrate, I feel that what she has to offer in her purpose is so greatly needed. So many women are going through that right now, and she is just that on time. You know, God is always on time. You know, she also supports and helps women that are single mothers by choice. Danielle enjoys helping and supporting people on their journey of healing, especially during times of loss. She shares her faith, experiences, and stories. She shares her faith after life after and Fresh Start Life Coaching Podcast. She wants to help people feel less alone and to find their voice again after painful events and difficult seasons in their lives. Who's excited? Who's excited for Danielle to come on board? As I said, we're going to welcome Miss Danielle Ross to the stage with me. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
How are
you? Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I am doing well. Thank you.
Great, great, great. Now, as you heard, that glowing bio, as I think it was glowing, I want to give you this early opportunity just to talk about you, what has driven you in your journey and kind of what it is you're doing, especially with your coaching program. Let me give you some time in the stage to do that.
Of course, of course. So just thinking, thank you for that glowing just introduction. As you were reading it, a part of me is like, who is she talking about? Like, it's amazing to just be here, you know, and you know, we have those times or those moments in your life where you just look back and you're just like, how did I get here? You know that it's only God, but just thinking about even just in my life in the last year and just thinking, due to having a medical emergency and almost not surviving that, you know, making it through COVID, you know, just years after divorce and, you know, just everything that my ex-husband had said, you know, or had spoken into my life, God doing the complete opposite of that and just thinking, okay, I am here. And so in that was just my life coaching business was birthed. I felt like I'm like, okay, God has taken me through too many things and helped me overcome so much. I'm like, I can hold on to it. I can sit on it. I can bury my talents, you know, in the ground, or I can use everything that I've gone through to be a blessing to others, you know, to further God's kingdom, to help people just remember that they're not alone, that God is with you, that he's not forsaking you, which is kind of the purpose of my topic today, yet God. But just thinking, you know, I'm like, okay, there's people that need to hear my story. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I feel like I've been silenced enough. I'm in this season where God is helping me to find my voice. And I'm like, I want to help other people find their voices, especially during difficult times, even during times of isolation or just times of things that they're going through. My focus is helping women, you know, that are going through infertility and miscarriage and those that are deciding to grow their family in maybe unconventional ways. And just helping them to realize, wow, they're not alone, you know, that they're seen, that they're heard, and that everything they're going through, there's a purpose in it. There can be beauty in it, and helping them walk, you know, walking alongside them on their journey of just of healing and so much more. So that's, you know, that's my why. And that's what I look forward to doing. And just I love loving on people anyways and encouraging people. So I'm like, how can I turn that into something that I'm passionate about to help others?
Awesome and amazing. So when you say that, you know, you've gone through, let me rephrase that. With that last, let's say that last straw, that last, you know, when you always say it was always that straw that broke the camel's back. What was it? You don't have to go into detail, like, you know, real detail about it, but what was that straw and that triggered you to decide, you know what, I'm going to walk in God's purpose. And how did you transition that from that to doing what you're doing?
Yes, very good question. So I, like many people, just in this season of feeling stuck, and I won't say that I'm 110% and unstuck at this point, but I feel like I'm at least 90% now. And I was in a point in my life where I'm just tired of being stuck. And I'm like, okay, God didn't bring me this far for me to just wake up and feeling stuck during the day, feel stuck at a job, but I wasn't happy yet. You know, still in that job and make my transition out. But then at that same time to just go to bed and be stuck and that just be my everyday story for one day, one week, one month, one year, 10 years. And I'm like, life's too short to just feel stuck. And I get it. A lot of people are stuck in their life for a variety of reasons. So I, you know, I understand that sometimes it's things that are not in your control. But I said, Danielle, what are the things that you can control? And I'm like, okay, well, I feel this way, but God is saying that he wants to give me an abundant life, you know, that he wants to increase my territory. You think about those in the Bible that were stuck and how God used them and grew them and used them to do these big things. And I'm like, well, God, you put so much in me. There has to be a reason why you put this in me, you know? And so in that, I said, well, what can I do with this? I said, you know, what can I do with it? And so in that, I have more than one job, but in one of my jobs, I work in a call center environment. And so in that, people were just, they started talking to me and they started talking about their grief and their loss. I'm calling health insurance companies to say, hey, where's the money? Why aren't you paying this? And then people would just, people I don't even know would just say, you know, my family member passed away 2 days ago, or I had this recent loss and I don't know why, but they would just open up. And I said, okay, as we're waiting, you know, to find out information about this claim or whatever's going on, let's talk about this. We're in the moment. Why pass by this moment? And so I felt God saying, okay, make time for this. And I'm like, well, God, you know, I have my metrics to meet. I have my quota. And the same thing, I'd be in the grocery store and someone would just start talking to me. It could be a kid. It could be someone that's in their 60s. And a part of me is like, oh, I want to go in and get out quick. I need to make this. I'm hungry. I need to do this. And I'm like, no, God is saying, stop what you're doing. The world is not all about you, Danielle. I'm an introvert and only child. So I'm like, okay, get outside of yourself sometimes. And in that, I'm like, okay, people are coming to me for a reason, people that I don't know, but there's something in me that God wants them to know that I need to share. And I'm like, okay, I need to start being obedient. And so in that, I said, okay, well, what can I do next? How can I turn this into something bigger? And then, I was just kind of researching things. And I'm like, well, you know, counseling's good, but I'm like, okay, I don't want to really go back to school that much and kind of start from scratch. I already have enough student loan debt and just kind of keep racking it up in that sense. And so I'm like, well, what can I do that I can help people, talk to people, and still just do something, make it to leave a legacy? And so in that, that's when I found out about life coaching. Years before, I'd already been a health coach. And then I said, oh, well, you know, things didn't exactly go as planned. So I just kind of put it to the side and different things, and then kind of looked into life coaching again. I'm like, hey, I can do this. And when I found out about it a little bit more, did some more research, I just jumped into it, did it, got certified. And I'm like, okay, let's turn this into a business. And I said, okay. And so I did it. And, you know, before even this episode, I was in my room and I found a piece of paper of the name of my business, A Fresh Start Life Coaching. And I had written on there, but God, and I had written a date on there. And it was a couple months back. And I'm like, okay, God, I see you. I'm like, I was cleaning my room, found that little sheet of paper this big and had written that on there. I'm like, okay, you're reminding me. I'm like, I'm not in this alone. You're with me. We can do this. We got this. We're together. I'm like, God is my CEO, you know, so we can do this. And so that's kind of how all of it was birthed. And that's where I am now. And I don't know what God has in store next. I'm like, I want to be obedient one step at a time, one day at a time. I'm like, okay, God, if this is what you're saying, I want to listen and I want to follow.
That is amazing. And I just want to reiterate to our listeners and our viewers, your complete faith in walking in which God told you to do, you know. And I know many people who would watch and listen to me be like, that was never my testimony. I was always going to fight him to a point and then finally listen to what he had to say. And I want people to know and understand that we have people, when God speaks to them, they start doing exactly what God tells them to do. And it still works for their benefit and their glory and their uplifting. So you don't always have to take my approach. I think I'm special and unique. I know people do it, but I'm special and unique and always having to have that conversation. But why? why you want to do that? So it's refreshing to speak with someone to say, you know what, God told me to do it, and I just went ahead and did it. And this is how it's done. And I'm like, so I want our listeners and our viewers to understand that they don't always have to struggle with God to get what God has for them. You know, it doesn't always there may be other challenges within your walk. There may be other challenges in getting to the point of what you have, but you don't always have to go back and forth with God to get there. You know, he's always going to, you know, lay out. And I can just probably hear from your testimony that you were still able to make those metrics. You know, you were still able to do the things that you needed to do by listening to him. Because sometimes that's what we do those things like, but I have to make the numbers, or I have to cook. And then you just don't do it. And you miss out on such a greater blessing in that. And so as you were talking about how you're speaking with people with their loss, and how they navigate and gravitate to you, I usually say that there's always something within us that, you know, people gravitate to, but what sense of loss that you have that you were able to, not only because you have faith in the love of God that allows you to relate to people, but what was that centering loss for you that allows you to emanate that, you know, compassion and empathy towards others?
That's a good one too. Yes. So it's been many things. So, one being, divorce, being a domestic violence survivor, going through a divorce, about 3 years ago now. I had a miscarriage a year ago, literally a year ago. And then one before that, about 6 years prior to that. And so still figuring that out and finding God in the midst of the pain. Had some just not so good health news for my daughter, her being diagnosed with something that's going to impact her for the rest of her life. She's only 5 years old. And so in that, just, you know, God giving me empathy in that, you know, right now with my family, personally struggling with my grandmother has dementia and figuring out next steps. You know, my mom that has chronic conditions and in and out of the hospital and multiple medical appointments during the week. My parents were divorced when I was 8 years old, letting go of a toxic relationship that I was in and just holding on to something that I know that wasn't God's best, and having to walk away and then coming back and then walking away again and then coming back, and God saying, no, let that go. And I'm just like, but God, it's just, it works. It's comfortable. It's convenient. It's, I can change this person. Things are going to get better, you know, that missionary dating, you know, as you call it, or even just in my season of singleness, you know, meeting someone and then, you know, a week later saying, you know, this is not going to work, and letting that go. And I kind of did the analogy of saying it feels sometimes like a train station and not knowing when that next train will come in again. And it's like, but Danielle, where's your faith? You know, do you have faith that God will bring another train? And I'm like, well, train came in, but it was going the wrong direction, the direction I don't want to go in. I'm like, well, then that wasn't for you. You know, that wasn't God's best for you. I'm like, okay, wait for that train that God has for you that's coming at the right time, has the space for you, and then it's going the direction that you need to go. And I'm like, but God, it feels like this train station is closed and like it's never going to come again. And I'm like, well, what if that train doesn't come for 2 years? What if it doesn't come for 2 hours? What if it doesn't come for longer than that? And I'm like, but where is your faith? And so, you know, in that still, just so many things, like even just the season of grieving, you know, there's a job that I've been in for 5 years and just put in my 2 months notice, not 2 weeks notice, my 2 months notice. And just sitting there and saying, okay, God has brought me this far. And I'm just like, well, God, I need to see you in this. I need to see your hand in this because I'm not getting it, you know, but in that it's those moments where it's like, yet, God. And, you know, just think about the definition of yet. The word yet just still means, it means still, it means even, it means until this present time. So no matter what we're going through, you know, there's even the Bible verse. So I have it. I wrote it down. So I was looking down and it's Ezra 9:9. It says, yet our God has not forsaken us. And so I have to be reminded of that when finances are tight, when I'm grieving a loss, when I'm still just dealing with things after my divorce, still the person's still in my life. So it's not like things that haven't gone away as I'm co-parenting, you know, whatever it might be, things on my job, letting go of a relationship that I was trying to make work, you know, but I'm like, yet God, he's still working. He's still here, you know, still not alone in this. And he's still doing something. I can't always see all of it. I feel like sometimes it's like this puzzle in my life where the pieces are being laid down. And I looked and I'm like, oh, the corner of this puzzle just got put together. I've been waiting for that corner to be filled in for a couple years. Or sometimes God will put down a puzzle piece and it's in the middle of the puzzle. And I'm like, well, that doesn't connect to something else, you know, or sometimes it'll just be the outer part of that puzzle, you know, and then something might hit the puzzle and the puzzle falls apart. And I'm like, oh, Danielle, you know, but it's just, you know, seeing God's hand. I'm like, in the midst of everything I'm going through, yet God, he's still working. He's still here. So I could go on and on and on, but I'll pause there.
Well, I just want to shout right now. I just want to get up and do a praise dance. Well, we're not going to do that on the video, but it is, I'm listening to you tell your story. I'm listening to you telling the things that you have gone through. And there's someone out there right now who has gone through that or is going through it and is thinking that it is it. They is thinking that I can't even move. I can't even fathom to get to the next day. And I feel you've spoken to so many people just in that statement, because so many people are going through, they have, it's some people have trauma after trauma after trauma, hit after hit after hit. And they're like, I just can't. And what you did, and when you're saying and talking with God, don't be afraid to talk to God. I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. You said you said something to God that I say a lot of times. As an introverted person, as someone who doesn't get out, you know, like to get out, and even though I have siblings, I sometimes have to say to God, you got to show me something. I'm at this point and I trust you, but I need to see. And I've realized that when you really have your, you know, relationship with him, he knows you. Sometimes you just have to ask him to do something. Like we, even though we have faith and even though we have the spiritual walk, there's some things we have to ask. Just think about our parents. Our parents aren't mind readers, even though God is, he's a mind reader, you know, but our natural parents, let's think of the natural, our natural parents aren't mind readers. So there's some things by intuitively they know that we may need, but there's other things that we have to come out and ask them. Like, you know we need pencils or whatever, or food or whatever, but they don't know that we really want that cheeseburger until we ask. Now we have to address that. That may be yes or no, but we still have to come out of our mouths and ask. And so, let's talk about the confidence in which not only have you worked to build for yourself, but that you, when you're working with, you know, coaching clients or just working in general, what steps are you working through to help them and even yourself while you're helping them emanate that confidence so that they don't have that fear of just, you know, I see the end of the tunnel with the light, but because I see it, I'm gonna run to the other thing because it now scares me. You know, how are you helping yourself and others navigate through that?
Good question too. So in that, I have a ring on, so you probably can't really see that well, but I went on Amazon and it was under $20 and the ring simply says, I am enough. And so I have to sit with that because I needed to be reminded of that. I'm like, let me tattoo it on my arm. I tried, it fell through, didn't work out. So I said, let's get a ring instead or something. But I have it on my finger and I'm reminded that every single day that I am enough, because everything around me, the media, movies, television, my status of singleness, sometimes after my divorce, you know, sometimes I jokingly say it, but it feels like it's something like after my divorce, sometimes I feel like I'm like that manager special, you know, that meat that's at the store. And they mark it down and mark it down and mark it down. And sometimes that meat changes colors. Some people will buy it and I'm like, you shouldn't have bought that because you're going to regret it later, you know. And then other times where which is, I think it gets thrown away if no one buys it after they mark it down so many times. And that's how I realized that many people feel like that because that's what they're told. You know, that's what I've been told by my ex-husband, you know, at the tail end of my divorce, saying, he said, if you get in a relationship, whoever gets in a relationship with you is going to cheat on you. And pretty much everything that you do is going to fail. And that's what he said in enough words. And I'm like, I realized that hurt people. But in that, it took time. And I said, you know, it stayed with me. And it still sometimes pops up in my mind. But I got to a point where I said, I don't have to take the time or waste my time to prove him wrong. I just walk in what God has for me. And God does completely the opposite of what he said. So I'm like, I can have healthy relationships. The things that God has put me on this path on is just so many open doors after so many open doors. I'm like, who, you know, in my case, I'm like, who does these things? I'm like, who starts a business from nothing? You know, no one in my family has done this, you know, and just think I have no money. And who starts not only one business, this is my second business. The other business, you know, since I moved, I said, okay, we're going to kind of shut that one down a little bit and see, you know, kind of put on the back burner. We might come back up again in the future. And this is the second business that I'm starting. And I don't say it in a boasting way, but I say it saying, okay, if I can do this, there is hope for you. And, you know, you just think a lot of people have ideas, they have passions in their mind, they have things that they want to do. They say, well, I want to break, you know, generational kind of curses in my family or cycles in my family, but I don't know how. So say for me, divorce is rampant in my family. But I told my daughter, even though she's only 5, I said, even though divorce runs in our family, you don't have to do that. You can break the cycle. And I tell her that, and I try and instill things in her so she knows she can do different. She can have something better, that God can do something so much better through her, even though she's only 5. And then when I meet with people, I tell them that I'm like, okay, forgive yourself, you know, in this, or them, hey, you had a miscarriage. That's not your fault, you know, or you're struggling with infertility. You have no control over that in so many ways. You know, you're dealing with this and maybe you want to be a foster parent, but people are saying, oh, you can't, or they make a joke out of it, you know, whatever it might be, because a lot of people are not supportive of that. Of people that say they want to be a foster parent, you know, people have said that family members have made them feel bad for their choices or decisions or where they are in their life. And so in that, we talk about countering that negative self-talk and switching it up with positive self-talk. So instead of, I can't, I never will, this will never happen for me, putting that and saying, you know what, I can do this. Or it might not look like someone else's something, but I can have my version of this, or God can do immeasurably more than we ever asked or expected. You know, that happened to me recently. I was driving through a neighborhood and I'm like, these are such nice houses. And I've grown up in apartments my whole life. And I'm like, well, I have nothing saved up. I'll never have a house. I'll never have this. But at the same time, I'm like, but God can give me something so much better than this, or something that's different, but can give me something that I wouldn't have ever imagined. And I'm like, well, Danielle, have faith in that. It might not be the time right now. And I'm like, well, my mom had a house at 28, but things have changed. And I can't compare what my parents had or didn't have to what I have now. I have God on my side. So I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's do this. You know, we can, I'm not alone, you know, and it's in those moments where it's just like, I have no one but God. You know, I'm sure we've experienced those times where it's our health, where there's something going on at work, something going on in our lives, something going on in relationships, and we have no one to turn to but God, you know? So it's just like, okay, I've done all that I can on my own. It's been exhausting. And, you know, I love being in control. I love, you know, like I said, even my backup plans have plans, and it's true, but I'm learning to really just like release control and to let that go, because it's just like, it's exhausting and trying to do my job and God's job at the same time. And I heard someone say that recently and I'm like, that's powerful. And yet that's what I'm doing. And God didn't call me to do his job and my job at the same time. I just need to do my part. Be obedient, let God be God, and just keep moving in that. So I feel like, okay, starting a business, you know, building something, you know, yeah, kind of nothing from something from nothing. Either way, you get my point, you know, doing all of that. I'm like, okay, God is doing something in this. And I want other people to realize that you have a voice, even if you've been abused, even if you're told that you can't, that you won't, that you'll never, because you can't do this, or maybe you have a special need, maybe you have health challenges, maybe there's other barriers you face, maybe no one in your family has ever done X, Y, and Z, that doesn't mean that you can't. So that's, I'm like, that's why I'm here. I'm like, okay, there's the reason why I'm here. There's a reason why random strangers stop me. There's a reason why I can walk by someone and just feel their pain. And I'm just like, what is that? You know, get it off of me. But sometimes it's just so tangible where it's like, okay, I walk by someone and like, I can tell that they're hurting and I can see that. And other people, I'm like, well, don't you see that person crying? They're like, oh, I didn't even notice. I'm like, no, but you tell something's wrong. And I'm like, okay, there's something like the sadness detector that God has put in me, this brokenness detector. You know, it's not my job to heal them in that sense, but I can help them walk along their on their journey of healing and support them. So, yeah.
Now that's awesome. And I want to emphasize that we can't heal everyone. Our job is not to heal. Yeah. It is to, like you said, walk along and guide them in their journey to healing. And I think that's the mistake a lot of us make sometimes. When God gives us a job, we think we're supposed to do all of it. I'm one of those, you know. So yeah. I appreciate that statement, because so many times we take on more than what God has told us to take on. You know, we want to say, okay, well, God told us to do this, so I'm going to lay out the whole thing. And then we're overwhelmed and we're struggling. And then we're like, but God, what's going on? I didn't tell you to do all that, you know? And just in the moment, like if he brings something to me, it's like, oh, it's not for me to say anything. It's for me to pray. You know, I see a lot. And sometimes I'm negligent in that because I'm thinking he wants me, I'm deciding, well, okay, yeah, but this person needs that. And he's like, that's not what I told you to do. So thank you for emphasizing that, because again, so many of us are probably overwhelmed with, well, I have this gift, or I have this knowledge, or I have this feeling that God has given me, and I don't know how to fully walk in it. And it's usually because we're doing more than what God has told us to do, you know, and walking in that purpose. It's just, our goal is to walk people along their healing, not to take them through their healing. Now, everyone has purposes. Now, you may be the person who's supposed to take people through their healing, but that doesn't mean you're walking them along in it, meaning you have to wait till that person gets to where you pick them up. You know, it's like a bus route. Every route is different. And so you have the main driver, which is God, that's going to stop along every route. And what it is that you will pick up what you need to pick up when you need to pick up. So I thank you for that. Just a final question, and I'm just going to ask this, based on what's been going on in the world today. And, you know, we're all, and I don't do politics or anything, but I pay attention to what is going on in the world today. How has the mothers and the women that you're connected with or working with, how are they navigating, or how are you helping them navigate this innate fear that's kind of been emanated across the, especially within the United States? You know, how have you, you know, how has that played out in your overall goal with helping women and those who are suffering or trying to, you know, navigate their own parenthood journey or motherhood journey?
Very good question. So I've met women just in different places. So I've seen some people say, because so many things going on in the world, they just decided to not have kids. And I'm like, that's one extreme. And I'm like, okay, if that's your choice, I understand. Some people have been fearful because they're like, well, because my parents didn't do this or they weren't good parents, I still won't have kids. So that's another thing. And then I'm meeting a lot of parents that are deciding to, especially when they're deciding to homeschool. So this is my first year homeschooling my daughter, and I love it, you know, and so having to kind of shift that a little bit. But I'm like, this is what works, and something I never thought I would do. But I see a lot of people, especially women, kind of pulling their children out and saying, okay, what can we teach our children differently? What can we instill in them differently? And, you know, a lot of parents, so like, for example, one woman I've worked with, she was talking to, not to, you know, the story is shared by permission, so I'm not, you know, putting her business out there. But, you know, in that, she was struggling because she wants to homeschool her son. Her child has special needs, but then she's also battling with her ex-husband who's not accepting of her child's special needs. And I said, yeah, I get it. I said, my daughter has special needs, and her dad pretends like it's not happening. And he's like, no. And I'm like, no, this is real. I have the medical bills. We have the diagnosis. We have all of this. This is happening. You're just not accepting it, you know? And he's told her, oh no, you're fine. And I'm like, no, you're not fine. This is something that's going on. This is real and can be life-threatening. And so, you know, in that talking to her and saying, okay, you have to do what's best for you and your child. And you might not have everyone's support right away, but then there are communities of people that are doing the same thing that you're doing. So, you know, end up meeting her through a Facebook group of parents that are homeschooling their children. And so many parents now are deciding to homeschool their children at 2 years old, even before they're born, talking about homeschooling. I'm like, okay, that's, you know, that's serious. But, you know, they're doing things like that and also talking to their children about race. They're talking to their children about politics. And, you know, with my daughter, I'm trying, even though she's only five, teaching her how the world works. And it's sad, but I told her, I said, you know, something, I said, even with the Little Mermaid, you know, not to get into the politics of it, but I said, you know, some people weren't happy because she didn't look the way we're used to her looking from what we were taught from before, from different things. You see movies and they're being remade and the characters are different and some people might not be happy. Or I told her some people might not be your friend because of this, or some people might not support you because of this, or some people might not understand you because of this. You know, someone even telling her in preschool saying, oh, you're ugly. And I'm like, you're 3 years old and have to worry about someone telling you that you're not this. And it's sad. But I told her, I said, you know, I said, baby, people are not always going to accept you because you're different. My daughter's biracial. So that's a whole nother, you know, daily walk that we have. And there's not kids that are going to look like her, identify with the same culture, because it's kind of an interesting mix. And so, you know, in that I tell her, but, you know, but what does God say about you? And I try and instill that in her. You know, we have those little posters on the wall and saying, I am brave. I'm smart. I'm a good helper. I am kind, you know, all these different things. And so, you know, with women, I'm telling them, you know, initially we're kind of our first teachers in the home, you know, as parents, and telling them, you know, try and instill these things in your children early, because people around them are going to tell them that they're not enough, that what they're doing is not good enough, that they're not going to measure up because they don't have this many followers. You know, my daughter, she's five, and somehow she's like, well, mom, this is how you get followers on TikTok. And I'm like, for one, why are you watching TikTok? How did you even know about TikTok? I don't even know anything about that. And for two, how do you know how to get followers? And the advice she was giving me was actually kind of good. And I'm like, I actually need to use that for my business. So I'm like taking notes and different things. But in that, you know, just telling her that that's not the whole goal. I'm like, my goal is to follow Jesus, you know, and it's not, it's great to have people that are interested in your message and everything else. But, you know, telling her, just trying to help parents to let them know that the world and the world around you is not usually going to teach your children the best things, but they're going to teach them their things. And sometimes there's things that are important, but it might not be the things that you want them to be taught, or things that you want your family to adopt, you know, in that, but we can teach them something different, something countercultural or countercultural in that sense. It's going to be hard because I feel this uphill battle now, even though my daughter's still young. But I'm like, if you start early and start instilling things in them, like say, for example, telling my daughter, hey, you can't please everyone, but that's not your job to please everyone. Because I'm telling her, I'm like, now in my 30s, I'm learning that it's impossible to please everyone. You please one person, the other person's not happy. If you please two people, then you're not happy. It's something, you know, and it took a long time for me to learn that. So if I teach her that now at five, then she doesn't have to go through what I went through, trying to be everything to everyone and trying to keep everyone happy and then dealing with codependency and trying to break this and still struggling with that and my life being, you know, kind of going downhill because of it and trying to carry everyone on my back and trying to make everyone happy and be the peacekeeper. And it broke me, you know. So in that, going back to your question, I know I kind of went around the block with that one, but you know, coming back to it, I really try and help. Try to just help women and moms especially just really instill that in their children early, regardless of how their household looks, but regardless of how their family looks. If it is just a single mom saying, you are enough, you can raise your child, you have the love. Okay, maybe the finances are lacking. Maybe you don't have that male, you know, influence, but maybe you have male friends that can pour into your child's life, you know, get them connected, Boy Scouts, baseball, get them a coach, get them a mentor, you know, areas that are maybe that you maybe consider lacking, you know, fill in those gaps other ways, or the, you know, other women that have that household and they're just trying to kind of pull their back from the world, you know, saying that you can do it, you know, try and have that united front, start early. It can be done, but it is scary, you know, in the midst of things that are happening inside of schools, outside of schools, on TV and movies, through the media, you know, it's a lot going on. It's just things that I didn't deal with when I was a kid. You know, when I was 5 years old, I wasn't thinking about boys and boyfriends and dating and relationships and other things like that. And yet now you know, kids talking about their boyfriends and relationships and they're in love with someone. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I've ever been in love with someone. I'm 30 something, you know? So right. It's just, it is a battle, but it's something like, okay, but be vigilant about it. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, as we close out, what 2 to 3 nuggets can you give the audience just an overall about just walking in their purpose and fully trusting God in the process? And you can do it in any form that is comfortable for you, but just in that arena, like, you know, trusting God and walking in the purpose, what encouragement can you give them on that? And then also after that, how they can reach out to you, how they can find you.
Okay, perfect. Yes, good question too. So in this, just walking in your purpose. So I felt like for me personally, in the last couple of months, the word purpose just kept coming up. I'd hear a sermon about it. I'd hear a random stranger talk about it. I'd watch a TV show I've never watched before, and they're talking about purpose. And I said, God, this word purpose keeps coming up, and I just committed it to prayer. And so that was important because little by little, God was showing me, okay, this is what I'm calling you to do, you know. I put you here for a reason. You're on earth for a reason. You made it to see this day for a reason. So there's something he still has for me to accomplish. And the same goes for you too. But there's something he still has for you to accomplish. And in that, when you do, you know, as you're discovering your purpose, do not compare yourself to others, because you'll say, okay, well, God wants me to sing. But then say, maybe you have a best friend that sings also, but you can't compare your purpose to her purpose. You can't say, okay, well, I can't sing as well as she can, or I'm not the lead singer on the worship team or whatever it might be. Maybe your purpose is singing to people that are, you're on the street and you're doing street witnessing. And maybe that's what you're doing. Maybe your purpose is teaching children that are underprivileged, or, you know, that maybe want to sing, but you can be a vocal coach. You know, maybe it's something like that. Maybe just volunteer your singing talents, you know, and whatever arena that you're in, you know, just, you never know how God can use it. So it's like, you know, thinking about that, praying about it, but then also not boxing God in either. So really saying, okay, well, you know, I've seen people do this in this way, say start a business or take their career in this direction or use their talent in this way, but God could have me do something completely different than what they're doing. So I'm not going to put God in a box. I'm going to let him work. I'm going to leave my hands open to him so he can work and do what he needs to do. So, you know, you say, okay, God's molding me like that clay pot, but my shape might be different. My color might be different. The details that he puts, you know, my life can be different. My story is different than someone else. So I can't compare myself to that. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, tackling that negative self-talk, you know, and not always listening to what other people say about you. It's easy to find enough people around you that can tell you what you can't do, but surrounding yourself with people that tell you what you can do. So maybe that's a mentor, you know, like that spiritual mother, spiritual father, or just someone to speak into your life. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's someone that's doing something that you want to do, someone that is where you'd like to be. So it's someone that's 10 steps ahead of you and saying, okay, well, what are you doing? Well, you know, how can I do that? Or, you know, just learning from them and getting, you know, all that you can from them and different things too. So those are just a few, you know, of the many things you can do. And then also, you know, just thinking, just trusting God and believing him for more. Something that I struggle with, trust is a huge thing for me. As I mentioned, my background due to abuse, due to being neglected, due to being just left. And in many cases, having to raise myself and just kind of having to depend on myself and kind of depend on myself for survival in many ways. I just didn't have that growing up. And so it's always been me, myself, and I. And so in that, it's been 10 times harder to trust God, but really saying, well, God, I'm surrendering control to you. I realize that there's many things that I can't control. I can't see the future. I can't control what happened in my past, but I'm going to let you heal me in those broken places of my life so I can move forward and move into what you have for me and trust that what you have for me is better than my past. It's better than what happened before. It's going to be different. You know, this person said this about me, but God, you're saying this about me. You're saying I am enough. I do have something to offer. My voice matters. My life matters. You know, my losses, they happened for a reason. It wasn't a punishment from God. It wasn't because I didn't do this or I didn't listen to him in this sense. You know, different things happen in our lives for different reasons, but just saying God's not punishing me, you know, in this sense. He's not angry with me. But just saying, okay, maybe I went through that loss because someone else needed to hear my story and be blessed by it. So, you know, there's many things, you know, when it comes to living out your purpose. I know sometimes I make it seem easy, but I'm still on this journey myself. So I don't make it seem like you just do these five things and then you're going to wake up and your purpose is going to be written on a piece of paper and you just walk in it. You know, there might be many paths that God has for you. And maybe it takes years for you to figure out your purpose. Maybe some people God tells them right away, you know, that is great too. And sometimes that prolonged kind of journey to learning your purpose is good too, because you learn along the way. So whatever way you learn, you know, or God shows you your purpose, there can be beauty and blessings in it overall. And, you know, just to wrap things up, if you do want to talk more, I am a life coach. I don't, you know, charge hundreds of dollars. My thing is I just want to help people and bless people. So even with the initial consultation, it's just kind of talking and hearing your story and seeing where you are and learning about your life. So I can be reached on Facebook. So it's Fresh Start Life Coaching. I'm in the U.S. So there's other Fresh Start Life Coachings in other countries, but I'm in the U.S. So that's the link. And then also with my email, it is fslcpodcast@gmail.com. That's one way if you want to reach out to me. I can send you the link to get scheduled and we can just do 30-minute conversation, or say you just need prayer. I love praying for people too. So that's great. I don't charge for prayer. You know, that's not my whole thing is not the money. I just want to be able to use my experiences to be a blessing to others. And as I stated, to help you feel less alone, to help you walk in what God has for you, to help you kind of figure out what is God saying to me, because sometimes you can't hear it clearly, but God sends people into your lives to say, okay, God may be saying this to you, or let's pray together to be in agreement and see what God has, you know, for this or for you in this. So that's pretty much, you know, all that I have at this time. I do, you know, just pray God's blessings over you as you walk in what he has for you. And as you just take it one day at a time, I know sometimes you just want to know our purpose now. We're like, well, God, I want to do these big things for you. You know, just tell me now. But maybe it's in that journey, that day by day where you serve someone or you do this or step out of your comfort zone. And God shows you little by little that puzzle piece that he's putting down that bigger picture. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Danielle, thank you so much for that. And I'm just going to reiterate for those who may be listening, and can't see the screen. That is going to be on Facebook. It's Fresh Life Coaching. And that's going to be www.facebook.com/startcoachinglife. And then if you want to reach out via email, that will be fslcpodcast@gmail.com. Definitely reach out. Definitely see what God has for you. Again, you know, just for prayer. Sometimes that's all, you know, you may need. You may, you know, not know that you need some coaching. You may not know where life is. And, you know, and she's offering that prayer line. So definitely, you know, use that as well. Danielle, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. You are such a blessing and a joy. Not only do I look forward to, you know, just being in your space and connecting with you, I'm looking forward to years to come when we can have you, you know, back on throughout the year, just, you know, especially as the coaching life grows, because again, we're here to support, we're here to love, but your story is such a story of light and love. And so we're going to have a follow-up session, of course, to see how it grows from here. Okay. So again, if you are listening and you're seeing, it's on Facebook, you know, it's www.facebook.com/startcoachinglife. And her email is fslcpodcast@gmail.com. So I want to thank everyone for joining us on this evening. Again, like I said, season four is going to be amazing. Now, for those who have watched us in the past, yes, we normally would do our shows on Thursday evening. That has changed for season four. That is, our shows are now on Friday evenings at 7 p.m. And it's going live to all of the various streams, of course, you know, maybe some additional ones. But it's now Friday evenings at 7 p.m. instead of Thursday evenings. So I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful evening. We love you. Be blessed. And we'll see you next week, the same time, the same location.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Moving Past You Radio Show. Make sure to visit our website at www.movingpastyou.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you found value in the show, rate us on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. And be sure to tune in next Friday for our next episode. And remember to always be kind in your word, your thought, and in your deed. Be blessed.